And our scripture reading now will come from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll have three selections. First, I'm reading from Matthew 20, 20 through 28. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" And she said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one on your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." And he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant. But it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the ten heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The next reading comes from the ninth chapter of Matthew, and I will be reading verses 10 through 13 from chapter 9. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." And then finally, from chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you have wished." And her daughter was healed instantly. For the Word of God in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. Well, for those of you who were here last week, you had some homework, didn't you? Does anybody remember what your homework assignment was? You forget so soon. You were to go, and just for 1 week, You were to practice humility, compassion, and kindness. How successful were you? Well, I must say, it was a week when the world needed all three. And we'll talk some more about that in just a moment. But humility, compassion, kindness. The first of three values of Jesus. As this series we're doing explores the core values of Jesus. What are the values that Jesus lives by? And in exploring these values, we discover how we are to live as followers of Jesus. And we are doing this through the Beatitudes. And so today, we continue this study and exploration of Jesus' values in the Beatitudes, as well as from scenes in Jesus' life. And today we read the middle three Beatitudes in our call to worship. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Three values that Jesus taught and lived that come from these three Beatitudes, I suggest to us this morning, are justice, mercy, and integrity. First is justice, the quality of being fair, equitable, and reasonable. This is the way the dictionary defines justice. And the Beatitudes say, blessed are those who seek righteousness. And we think of righteousness as behavior that is morally justifiable or right. It's doing the right thing is righteousness. And one visual way of looking at justice is to see it through righteousness. And through this need that we have to be right. But that's not really what righteousness is. That's not really what justice is. Years ago, justice was explained to me in terms of typesetting. You know how we justify margins on a document, text on a page. We bring all of the type to one side or the other to justify the margins. We bring equality and symmetry to the page. And this gets us at sort of the essence of what prophetic biblical justice is. It's something that brings equity to us, to our lives. It levels the playing field, if you will. You know that famous passage from Isaiah that we read in Advent time about the valleys becoming high and the mountains becoming low. This is visual imagery for the prophetic biblical understanding of justice. Now, this is quite different from a common contemporary understanding of justice. We have a tendency to think of justice more as punishment or retribution or even revenge. We're going to make sure justice is done. And in this little story here we have of James and John, it's kind of interesting. Their names aren't mentioned here. It says, the mother of the sons of Zebedee. It's James and John, that's who it is. And James and John have gone to their mother, and their mother goes to Jesus and asks Jesus to give her sons preferential treatment. And Jesus puts prophetic justice into practice by explaining that greatness is achieved through serving. Now, Jesus quite often throughout the gospel shows that the way to experience or affect something is through its opposite. The first will be last, the poor will be rich, the great will serve, the blind will see, life comes through death. He's always turning the page. He's always leveling the playing field, bringing equality, bringing justice to situations. Now, justice and mercy are often seen as opposites. We say, oh, well, we need to practice justice or we will have mercy. But from a biblical perspective, they are quite similar. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown toward someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. See, we can show compassion to an equal, and that's not really merciful. It's mercy when we are in a relationship with someone over whom we have power. When we are seeking mercy, we are seeking mercy from someone who has power over us. So mercy has to do with a distribution of power and where we are in that. We might even say that mercy is justice in action. Mercy is when we practice equality and we see each other as equals, even though we start out not being equals. That mercy is justice in action, especially when directed toward a weaker person or group of people. Now, Jesus practiced mercy continuously by associating with and welcoming people from all walks of life, especially those whom he could easily look down upon and dismiss. This story calls them, and they are referred to throughout the Gospels, as tax collectors and sinners. These are all the people that we don't have anything to do with. Mercy is lived by Jesus, as lived by Jesus, has the quality of not only accepting people where they are, but sometimes lowering oneself in order to lift up another. You see, it's not so much about bringing someone up to our level as it is about entering another person's level. As the Beatitude tells us, mercy given is mercy received. If we are to receive mercy, we must practice mercy. Now, in a sense, both justice and mercy find common ground and meet in the middle of difference and conflict. Among people we agree with, there is no need for mercy and justice. But it takes place between difference and conflict. Justice and mercy draw us into a complementary relationship. It draws us into a wholeness with the people that are around us and the world that we live in, reminding us that we are all a part of this wonderful thing we call life. And I would suggest to us that this may be very well what Jesus means by the term pure in heart. Pure in heart is this sense of connection, interconnection, this sense of wholeness, this sense of being a part of something bigger than all of us. Being complete, connected with ourselves, with the world around us. Which, by the way, is a definition of what we call integrity. Integrity is the state of being whole and undivided. All of creation is integrated. And this is what we call integrity. And our third story this morning, I suggest to us, is a story of integrity. However, it is a story where the tables are turned, not by Jesus, but on Jesus. A Canaanite woman, a person whom a Hebrew man would look down on and have power over, asked Jesus to heal her daughter. And in a rare display of his own cultural prejudice, Jesus first ignores her, then he dismisses her, and finally he insults her with a racial slur. All the opposites of justice and mercy. But the woman persists. And by using Jesus' own words, calls his integrity into question, his purity of heart. She says, "Yes, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And these words are an affront to what Jesus has just done. And his reaction is immediate. He recognizes his own heartless response, but more importantly, he recognizes this woman's great faith, he calls it. And the results are justice and mercy. Her daughter is healed. This is an amazing story looked at from this perspective, because it draws us into the very question of justice and mercy and integrity. And my friends, if there were ever a time when justice, mercy, and integrity were needed, that time is now. The events of the past week have cried out to us as a nation, as individuals, and within Christianity. Christianity as supposed followers of Jesus. The events have cried out to us. I would suggest to us this morning that the Latino LGBTQ victims, as well as the Muslim perpetrator of the Orlando tragedy, are the Canaanite woman, questioning our integrity and calling us to justice and mercy. The 12 years that I was a pastor in Washington, D.C., I lived three blocks from the Capitol, the Supreme Court, the Library of Congress, that area there. And I became to refer to the plaza in front of the Supreme Court building as the American stage. Because you could see some of the most amazing things on that plaza. And it was always, when the court was considering a decision that had to do with religion, sex, or guns. Those were the three hot buttons that brought out the circus. And it did because there is so much passion around those things. There are so many culturally ingrained prejudices in all of those. And this week, guns, immigration, and sexuality have called us out. They have called us to justice. They have called us to equality, to remind us that we are all in this together. There is no them or us. There is only us. It has called us to mercy, which is humility, compassion, kindness toward those over whom we have power. And it has called us to integrity, to practice what we preach. Now, I said last week at the end of the sermon, at the close of the service, that when we really start examining the things that Jesus teaches, the way that Jesus lives, it is dangerous to be a follower of Jesus. Because if you follow Jesus, if we follow Jesus, we find ourselves in situations where we must practice justice and mercy. Because if we don't, we have no integrity. Amen. My friends, sometimes the events of life call us to action. Sometimes the events of life call us to look at our own lives and call us to a place of integrity. And ask us, are we who we claim to be? Are we followers of Jesus? And are we listening to Jesus? And are we watching Jesus? And when we ask ourselves these questions and bring them into our lives, it's disturbing. But the church of Jesus Christ is a place of hope. And each and every one of us are called to be that hope, to be that light in the world. And it's not easy because the situations that face us are complicated. But we must. It is a moral imperative for all of us to seek justice, to seek common ground, and to display mercy to those whom we have power over. It is a call to integrity, to follow Jesus. So let us go from this place and do our best to do so. Amen.